holy, set apart people, this fully holy, living for God, no matter what kind of thing. We're going to get to it by talking about being at peace with God. Peace with God. Did anybody know that before they submitted their lives to Jesus Christ, they weren't at peace with God? Does anybody know that? I know that there's some people that are sitting here right now and they're like, I don't think there's a problem between me and God. We're good. We got this agreement. I do me, and then I give him some props, and I don't say his name as a swear word most of the time. You know, it's just kind of this transactional thing. I've done some things, and God is being good to me. Friends, you can't be good enough for God to say, oh, okay, got it. You're so cute. You think you're amazing. I mean, you drive me nuts, but I'm going to adopt you. It's his grace that allows that to happen. It's his kindness. It's not you. It's him. And so peace with God is something I'm going to unpack a little bit more, but let's go back to Romans. If you don't know this, we're in this series called Set Apart, where we're actually set apart as Christians. Set apart not to just sit there and don't touch anything or screw anything up, but set apart to set an example, to be holy like Jesus is holy, and he's called us to that. And he's paid the price so we could be that way, and he's poured his spirit, as we're about to read, into us that we would know his love, live his love, and be different. But in Romans 5:1, all that promise that I just talked about, and that's just really encapsulating so many wonderful things that Kay shared with us. But Romans 5:1 starts with the word therefore. And how many of you remember that there's a cute little saying that people have? Do you remember what the saying is? Anybody willing to blurt it out when you find a therefore in the Bible? What's the therefore, therefore? I just told you about the promise and this grace and this justification that God made you righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, just as if you'd never sinned. Therefore, Romans 5:1, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have peace with God? Through Jesus Christ. Just like, well, he gave peace to everybody. Is that how that works? Does everybody have peace with God because of Jesus Christ? Everybody can. He wants peace with everybody. You ever heard that everybody is a child of God? It sounds good. Do you know that you're not if he's not your dad? Oh, gosh, that sounds so simple. You're his creation. You're beloved by him. He's crazy about you. But you're not his kid if he's not your dad. And how's he your dad? Through Jesus Christ. The only begotten son. Okay, remember that one? John 3:16. The only begotten son, Jesus, died that you and I might get adopted and be part of the family and grafted in, and that's our dad. And he wants that for us so desperately. He wants what the Hebrew word is, shalom. You know that word? Shalom. It's peace. I've heard shalom in your home. I like it because it spits a little bit. But the reality is, shalom is oneness with God. It's unity with God. It's no more enemies. It's no more. You know, have you heard the I love you, but? You ever done that one? I love you, but I'm going to ask you just maybe take that word, toss it, put and in there. I love you and you're driving me crazy. I love you and you bug me. But there's some times in the word where God has said, I love you, but you're far from me. I love you, but there's a wall between us. And I gave you the answer. Let me read for you a couple of things. Augustine, I don't know if you know who he was or is, and there's a lot of people that go back and forth on all of this, but this shalom, this oneness is of God and with God, is this rest that you can have. But listen to what Augustine said. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. You guys, we live in a world that tries to find peace, that tries to find comfort, that tries to find all of the answers anywhere but God. In people, in possessions, in places. We have resources, so we think we've got it. We know that money can't buy us happiness, but baby, we're willing to give that another shot. And I know this because I live in the same world, in the same flesh that all of you do. This shalom is only through God. You can find certain levels of peace, maybe comfort, maybe an absence of chaos for a time. But until you find peace in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be at peace with God. Do you guys remember this Matthew 11:28? He says, come to me. Do you remember the rest of that? Come to me, all what? Weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Or, not necessarily the rest for your body, but it's for your soul. Is your mind going to be at rest? Sometimes it's going to be all anxious and stuff, and you're going to have to find peace in Jesus. It doesn't mean you have to get saved again, but this peace, well, let's look at what Jesus said about this peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Whose peace is he giving? And he's leaving it with us. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Okay, so can I just really quick get to some real meddling in your life? We find a peace like no other in Jesus. Because he gives not like the world gives. He gives not like you can give. He gives not like money can give. He gives not like some, I guess, passing fad can give. And so where have you been at with it? Has it been in your diet? Has it been in how you work out, what you won't drink, what you will drink, what you won't smoke? Has it been in who you hang out with? I got peace because I go to this church. He says it's my peace that I give to you. I leave it with you, and I don't give the way the world gives. Listen how he finishes this. Let not your hearts be troubled. If you've got a peace that's so stinking razor edge thin that any wind that blows in the opposite direction, you're losing it, you may not have it. I'm not here to say if you're anxious or depressed or worried that you're not a Christian. Please don't hear me say that. Anybody willing to raise their hand with me that as a Christian, you've been worried, anxious, and even depressed? You're still saved. Thank God. But some of us have been told a wrong gospel. Jesus has set you free from any problem, anywhere, at any time. Oh my goodness. That's not... He said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have trials, tribulation, trouble. But take heart, I've overcome this world. Later on, John, the apostle of love in 1 John 4:4 says, look, children, you've overcome all of this. He's talking about stuff that's really heavy, death type stuff. You've overcome all this because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look, it's going to happen here for a while, but this isn't all there is. You got a peace that passes understanding. You got a joy that goes so much deeper than the deepest ocean. This is what Jesus offers us in this peace. So he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Oh, so that's it, huh? Just don't worry. You know how it is. Somebody's anxious, and what's the first words that come out your mouth? Don't worry about it. Is it super helpful, Shannon? Do you love hearing that? Is it just build you up? But he's like, look, you're the only one who can control this right now. And I've given you the ability to do it. So let's move. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Next time somebody's mad at you for reminding them of what Jesus said, you might do this move. Your problem's with Jesus. That goes really well for arguments. Got brand new married right here, just about to be married back there. Kathy and I have been married for a grip. I mean, there's just so much. That doesn't really work sometimes in an argument. Like, breathe. Settle down. Stop worrying. It's like somebody coming with an open wound and bleeding. You're like, stop bleeding. What can you do to help them? Point them to Jesus. Encourage them. Pray with them. Be patient with them. Gosh, I'm giving you the live it out stuff already. Let's go. We got to move on. This shalom, this oneness comes from Jesus, and he's the Prince of Peace. He wants you to have peace with God. He's paid for you to have peace with God. And so back to Romans 5. So we got one, there's this peace with God, not always necessarily peace with others. That's another message for another time, but peace with God. And then we're moving on. Romans 5:2. Through him, who is he? Good, we're in church, friends. You can do it. Amen. Jesus. So through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Now it's starting to sound cultish. Weird. Wait a minute. We've got grace, and we've been able to obtain that because of the faith that God gave us, and we can stand in grace, and then we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but also we rejoice in our sufferings? That's weird. Well, that's Jesus. We rejoice in our sufferings knowing that suffering produces endurance, so I'm not just suffering for nothing, although sometimes that's what it feels like. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Ooh, I want to take forever on this. I'm just going to quickly ask you guys to go through this with me. What is the fruit of justification in Jesus? What do we get? We are going to unpack it, and it's right here in front of you. If you have a Bible in front of you, we're going to not go back to it, but I'm going to give you some answers. But first, what stood out to you? What is fruit? What is the produce? What is the gift from God because of justification in Jesus? Like, just as if we'd never sinned, we're set free. What are some things that we got? We talked about the first one, so let's go with that. It's the title of this whole message. Peace with God. Peace with God. That oneness that we talked about, that's so wonderful, that shalom. What next? Okay, hope. Very, very good. And that hope is in God's glory, not yours. His. Never ending. We'll get there in a second. What else? Character. Very good. Endurance, outstanding. Perseverance, hanging in there. Hang in there, baby. Say it again. Yeah, we're going to have some tribulation, which is an actual gift, so that now you can see how this can be redeemed. Pastor John just talked about how, yeah, I love this, and it's the first time it stood out to me. Paul goes, I've heard about factions, and I believe it in part. He probably shouldn't believe it in part. There's divisions in families, in churches, in communities, in anywhere where there's more than one person. But this idea is that those problems come to help show who's his. Did you catch that in what John read in 1 Corinthians 11? We're refined by that. We're shaped. We're strengthened. What else? Really quick, and then I'll unpack them, and then Now I'm going to keep going. But anyways, yeah, go ahead. What else? What is some other fruit? What is patience? Grace. Nice. Rejoicing. You know what that is, right? Celebrating. Did you say love? Ooh, that's a good one. And no wishy-washy kind of love, right? All right, let's go for it. Peace with God. Second one is access into grace. You have access into grace. How? Through Jesus, by faith in him, right? It's not our work, as we've read multiple times in Ephesians 2. It's his work that he gave to us, but we have to receive it. Look, some of you work out. And the only thing I'm trying to work out is when I can work out. But some of you have 24/7 access to a gym. So what that does for you is it excuses nothing. Why? The only time I really have is 11 and none of them. Oh, wait, I've got that access. This is like a poor example. Your access to the grace of God that you can stand in it is bought by Jesus Christ. So you can access it at any time. Why wouldn't you go there? I don't really feel like it. I don't understand it. It feels weird. I don't think it's there. If he loved me, why this? Which for me is like, the next one stands out so much. Joy and hope of God's glory. Did anybody get a chance to catch what was going on in the sky on Friday? I looked at it and was like, oh my goodness, that looks like the largest Milky Way I've ever seen. And then I took a picture of it. And it did something amazing. I'm like, I got a magic phone. Thanks, Phoenix. Love you, buddy. I'm looking up, and I'm seeing kind of some colors. I don't know if you noticed, but I have glasses. And there's, like, I spent some money to have them not be the kind that you could tell are bifocals, but they are. So my eyes aren't great is what I'm getting at. And I see some cool stuff, and I take a picture, and it was like, this is remarkable. And this is what a lot of people get to see in different parts of the world on a semi-regular basis. I hope they never get bored of it. But each of us, when the sun's out, we get to see a sunrise and a sunset, depending on if you're awake and if you're looking. The glory of God is not limited by us or by our view or by our phones. The hope that we have in the glory of God is that God's glory just keeps getting better and better the closer you get to him. This is such good news. In Revelation, we find out that there's 24 elders that have been there for a minute, whatever that minute is. They don't really measure time there, but they've been there a long time. And they start hearing this song sung by these weird creatures with eyes all over them, weird, crazy. And they hear this song and they fall on their face and they cast their crowns to the Lamb of God, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They're still rejoicing at how awesome his glory is, and it's unlimited. That's where your hope is, so be able to have joy in your hope. God's going to overcome whatever it is you're going through, even if you have to wait till you see him face to face. The final few are amazing. Suffering redeemed. You guys said it. Endurance, character, hope. Everybody suffers. Everybody. But those who are in Christ, that suffering is redeemed. It develops something in you that gets to show off his goodness. And as Peter just said, the next thing that stood out to me was God's love poured out in our hearts. This is an all-time love given to you. Have you ever, as a student, had to study something that was just so significant and it was so long and you had to read so much? Did you ever have to do that as a student? How about as a teacher? We have some doctors in here. There's some stuff where you just someday, you probably laid your head down on one of those books before the internet and said, could you just pour it into me? That might be just me. That was the kind of student I was. I was lazy. Super not lazy now. But the reality is, this has been poured into your hearts. Nobody could have done it for you but him. And he poured it into you. This all-time love, this agape, this I am here for it. I sacrifice because I was sacrificed for. I suffer well. I have hope. I see the glory of God. I know that I have peace with God. I don't have to look for it anywhere. I don't have to be at peace with you to be at peace with God. However, if I am going to be at peace with God, then I'm going to work at being at peace with you because that's what saved people get to do. And finally, as if this is a consolation prize, but not at all. This is how all this works. He gives us his Holy Spirit. I just want to know, how do I know what God's saying to me? Well, he wrote down a bunch of it, which is super great. And you get to spend time in there, and you get to be with people who are following him and struggling to follow him, and you get to say, look, I need help and all that. But his Holy Spirit, he speaks to us, doesn't he? Some of you are like, I just don't know how to hear his voice. I love you enough to repeat myself over and over again on this one. I believe that most of us, if not all of us, know how to hear God because we know how to ignore him. You should actually take him at his word and be kind to people who aren't kind to you. Next. I must be going through a tunnel. I couldn't hear that. What? Share his love with people that don't deserve it. Excuse me? Told you before that if we were here during the winter and we were going to go to the pass and we see all these cars coming back from the pass with just snow caked on them, and the closer we get to the pass, it's really, really packed, and then we start to see flares. And then we see a roadblock, and we go around that roadblock, and we get to an avalanche, and we're like, what? How did that happen? I didn't see that one coming at all. You avoided all of the signs. You should not be surprised. God's grace, through his Holy Spirit, is that he tells you over and over again, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? What's the most important thing? Love God with all that you have. Then love your neighbors, you love yourself. We've flipped that in this society. We love people. I don't want to offend you. That would be the worst possible thing I could ever do. Not keeping the truth away from you graciously and lovingly, but that wouldn't be the worst thing. The worst thing would be to offend you. For real? You guys remember the story of the man that was born blind? John, I know you're thinking, bro, you got 8 minutes. This is not on your notes. You're right. Okay, but I'm here. John 9, this guy's born blind. Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud pies, anoints his eyes with it. That seems just weird and rude. Like, I was blind, and you spit, make mud pies, and anoint my eyes? Look, I'm blind. I'm not, like, without feeling. That's an irritant. Do you get me on this? He takes the mud and puts it on his eyes and then says, go wash. Yeah, no doubt I'm going to wash. I got mud on my eyes. What if he just told you to do something and didn't do all of that? Anybody find a reason not to do it? Okay, just me. I do that all the time. Like, okay, God, maybe I don't speak the truth because it'd be offensive. Maybe I don't, like, step up and step out. Maybe I don't remind people that the gospel's even better than they think because they're just tired of hearing it. But when you got an irritant going on in your life, when you've got a challenge going on where you can't get past it, you're going to start to listen to Jesus a little bit better. And that's what happened with this guy. He didn't know Jesus from Adam, but he did go and wash his eyes. And he was able to see. You guys, take Jesus at his word, or at least lean into the irritant that is saying, I need help. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to you and get after us, even if it takes hard stuff. Pray this in your name. Amen. Let's get to this love. Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, while we were weak, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. I would love to take all kinds of time to unpack for you what the Greek of those things is. Let's look at it like this. Righteous has a tendency to be doing the right things. Most likely, people aren't going to die for somebody who looks holier than thou, does all the right things. Goody two-shoes, all of that. He says, but for a good person, maybe one would even dare die. You know what I like about you? You're nice and you're warm and you're kind. You're a really good person. That might be somebody that others would die for. But the righteous person, now I don't even know if that's fully what this means, because look, I am not the most amazing Bible scholar. I'm probably not even in the top 3,000, but I will say this. There's been a lot of women and men that have tried to unpack this, and they're like, I don't fully know what it means. All I can tell you is that righteous and good probably mean very close to the same thing. And Paul's saying people barely, if ever, would die for those type of people. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, not good, not righteous, not kind, not warm, none of that, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Whew. You know what this is? This is love on display. This is not love held back. This is not love trying to figure it out. This is love like, look, this is how much I love you. While you were a hot mess, I came for you. You didn't get all your poop in a group. You were a mess. And I said, I love you. Let me give you life. And finally, since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. You're saved right now, and you will be saved forever. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how did God reconcile us to him? The death of his son. He paid the price. Plus tip, he took care of it all. So if that's how we are reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Saved now and forever. I love this. These three words are remarkable. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We're brought into fellowship with God. We're brought into right relationship with God. We're at peace with God. We're saved in the past, the present, and the future. All the things that we could have done wrong and did do wrong, we believe in Jesus Christ that he paid the price, and we're set free. We're at peace with God, and then we get to live like that. We get to honor him. When I looked up into the sky, I took that picture and was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And my family's just sending all these things on the thread. I'm like, you are so worthy, God. That is just one place in the world. He's burning off gas and all kinds of weird pollution, and it's freakishly cool. A neighbor across the street got her car stuck in a field because she was looking at it. And she's like, oh gosh, I'm going to go in the field. So she goes into the field so she can get a good look. And a tow truck just happened to be driving by. Hey, we'll figure it out later on my way to another thing. Let me just pull you out of there real quick. I see her out there washing her car. What a story. God is worthy of our praise, of our worship, of our obedience, of our love, of our affections. of our repentance. So how are you going to move towards him today? Some of you just need to come to him. You've been tired and weary and burdened, and you didn't even know it. Did you hear this dude up here talking? You're like, okay, it's time. Hallelujah. Man. Praise God. And the reality is, look, if you're saved, you still need to come to him. You still need to repent. You still need to acknowledge him. You get to worship him. You get to make much of him. You get to change some things in your life. You get to put people in their proper place. Like, don't treat them poorly, but say, look, you're right here with me. This is where my worship goes. This is where my life is to be spent. And so some of you need to not just repent. You need to believe and keep believing that he is the answer, that this fruit is for you. Let it move you to being a peacemaker with people. Let it move you to being somebody that repents, not just so they can be saved, but because they're saved, they repent of the things they put in Jesus' way. The idols that we've worshipped. This is great. It's a great opportunity. You have an excuse to be good. And you have all the power by the Holy Spirit to do so. And for some of us, we just need to be sharing this more than we do. I am not your example, Jesus is. At what point in time did Jesus die for the ungodly? When we were weak sinners. Be gracious with people. Don't leave out the truth, though. It's one of the most gracious things. My wife and I have a tendency to be kind enough to each other to say when we're being stupid. And sometimes I receive it really well. We also have the kindness to be able to say, something right there. Oh, gosh, has it been there all day? I don't know. I just saw you. Have you guys ever seen The Voice or American Idol? And they have these tryouts, and this person gets up there, and it's rough. It's not good. You think in your mind, do they have anybody that tells them the truth in their life? Is there anybody that said, look, I love your voice, but it's probably not best for you to go on national television and look the fool? Sometimes this next step towards Jesus is to speak the truth. Like, look, the reason why things are so rough and you don't have rest is because you're trying to find peace where there is none. Only Jesus can give you that. And not just once. He doesn't give the way the world gives. He gives, so don't be troubled with all your stuff. You have to deal with your consequences, but not the eternal ones. And he's given you the strength to be able to deal with it. This is a step towards Jesus that many of us are afraid to take. Or we're tired because we've taken it and we've just been rebuffed over and over again. Shut up. I already know that. It's like the guy that was asking for money outside Dick's restaurant. He just kept asking for money. I'm like, hey, man, I don't have any money for that, but I can get you some food. Oh, okay, thanks. I come out and give him food. And he goes, man, do you have any change at all? I'm like, I do. Jesus Christ will change your life. He's like, oh, gosh. I already know that. I'm like, then do something with it. That may be one of the most blunt I've been with somebody. And he didn't just come to Christ in that moment. He asked the person behind me because he was done talking to me. But we plant and we water and God makes it grow. Keep planting, keep watering, keep making it grow. Be strong, be courageous. Let the truth of God through you and out of your mouth be contagious. Let's pray. Father, I love you and thank you that you love us first. I thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. And so since that's true, may those of us who haven't come to you come to you. For those of us who have been just kind of shaking our heads and just feeling like we're on a timeout, may we remember that you've called us to be in life and in the game right here, right now. And for those who are strong and courageous already, Lord, may they continue to go out in your name, speaking the truth. And God, whatever ways you want us to walk this out and live this out, may we do so. Thank you for moms and thank you for Mother's Day. God, may we not just clean up today, but other days too. and the service to these amazing women. But God, I see your strength, your value, your fierce love through ladies in a way that I haven't been able to see it through guys. And so thank you that that's your design. You're awesome, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.